Good evening, everyone. It's LFC Day Trippers. I'm your host, Gav. Grizz is with me, and Ray is with me. And we didn't do a Monday club. We didn't do a Tuesday club. So welcome to the Wednesday club. Stoke 0, Liverpool 3. Happy days. Don't know. Mad fume at the lineup. But Ray, I'll come to you first. Norbert had a great old time at the lineup, didn't he? He was proper winding up Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to have to get used to this over the next few weeks. At the end of the day, we've got a lot of games. You know, we're playing weekend, midweek, weekend, all the way through to basically New Year's Day now. So, look, people are going to have meltdowns every single time a team sheet comes out now because the changes are inevitable, aren't they? You know, it was good to see Solanke getting his first league start. I think the thing as well for me is I think it's only Moreno who basically got all four of the last game, you know, the last four games consecutive. I think we've touched on it in the past. You know, his fitness levels are up there with the best of them in our squad. And I think that's possibly one of the reasons why he gets all four starts. So we're gonna see a lot of this. We're going to see a lot of rotation and we just got to get used to it.
Yeah. People have called for him to rotate and he didn't. And people called for him to rotate again. And then he did. And as soon as he does, all hell breaks loose. You know, Liverpool fans expect Liverpool to challenge at the top of the table and on all fronts. And then if we change our 11, we've no kind of... We've no faith in them. A lot of people don't seem to have the faith in them, which is contradictory to what you believe Liverpool should achieve, in my opinion. Grizz, the starting 11, you sent it to me, actually, a little while before the game, and when I looked at it, I thought, wow. But I'd like to look at the setup.
I actually want to screenshot your reply on Twitter, but I'm going to let you off.
I didn't. I tell you, the only thing about it was, Grizz, the thing I liked about it was it looked like we may go in with a similar setup to West Ham away, which I was all for.
Yeah. Now listen, I'm not going to lie. I didn't think it was the, the best of lineups when I first saw it. But then I suddenly did. I started looking into it and I thought to myself, well, if he's going to set up the way he did, to be fair to him, because automatically what happens is when we pick a team, right, automatically people start assuming the formations, don't they? We start guessing how we're going to play, you know. Yeah. Is it going to be the regular 4-3-3? Is it going to be... I think that's beautiful. I think the fact that... forget us, but the opposition doesn't know how we're going to set up with the amount of players, with the amount of squad we've got now. That's the best way to go. And do you remember we was discussing it all summer that we want to be in a position where nobody's near enough guaranteed a place. I mean, who would have thought maybe last year that Phil Coutinho was going to be rested or dropped away to Stoke, you know, or that, you know, our captain Henderson, Klopp's going to have no hesitation in dropping Henderson. When I say dropping, rested, you know what I mean? You know, so resting, yeah. Henderson. You know, and I think it's absolutely brilliant position. This is where we wanted our squad to be. Not quite, but in terms of the depth is there, the quality is there, and we have no choice but to trust in Klopp's judgment and the medical staff. They know better than us who's ready to play, who's not ready to play, you know, who's recovering. And listen, four wins in a row or something? Or four wins out of five, I think, or something. Four out of five. And even the Chelsea, you know, considering it was a fucking fluke, right? We're in a good way. But would you think that, looking at Twitter? It's absolute mental. I just laugh now. I just laugh it all off on Twitter.
Yeah, no, it's, again, like, you know, the team comes out and people are absolutely having breakdowns all over the place. And again, before a ball is kicked, just get behind the team. All right, if it doesn't go right. You know, you're well within your rights to have a go at the end of it, but thankfully we're on the right end of the result tonight. Ray, as interesting as the Liverpool team was, I was interested in the Stoke one as well. They went with Crouch up front, and I thought, well, that's an obvious thing to do, you know.
Yeah.
Early, he's good. He can nearly bully either of our centre-halves in the air. But Then they came out and sat back and literally retreated into their own half. And I thought, well, God, if that's your tactic, if that's Mark Hughes' tactic, why is he gone with a guy that can literally only head the ball up front? You know, he's no pace in them. There was nothing on the break from them. He played into our hands a little bit in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, the crouch start was an obvious one, wasn't it? There was plenty of interest there and Joe Allen as well in terms of the ex-Liverpool connection. I mean, to be honest with you, I think, you know, it's got to the stage, as Grizz sort of touched on there, you wonder what's going through other managers' heads. You know, our team is being changed regularly and you know, what system, I think people are getting a bit concerned about what systems we're going to be playing and how we're going to be playing. And maybe that factored into how they started the game off, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah, it did. But, like, Grizz, what did you think of it? Like, because as I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, okay, Crouch is on. What they'll do is they won't play a high line, but they won't be mad deep. They'll get the ball up to them quickly. They get men around them, and they'll try pressure us and nearly pen us in, while at the same time, you know, being a little bit conservative at the back. But they seem to just fall into this routine of getting every man into their own half, and they've done it against Palace at the weekend. I noticed that as well. But with Crouch up front, you've no pace through the middle or down the channels, even off a long ball to hurt Liverpool. I thought it was very strange what he done.
Do you know, for the first 28 minutes, that was the easiest, coldest, wettest, can we do it at Stoke night ever. Because they started off with three at the back, and then they played that Diouf and that I can't pronounce his name, man. I'm gonna say something stupid and you're gonna laugh, but you know the one I'm talking about. Chupamoting or something.
Chupamoting. Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah,
that's
the one. Right.
All right, so we had them two on the flanks, and then as you said, Crouch isolated through the middle on his own, and it was easy. That 28 minutes was easy. We took the lead, and straight away, or within 5 minutes, Hughes changed it to a 4-4-2. All right, he changed it to a 4, and he put Diouf right up top with Crouchy, and then Shaqiri and Chupamoting went out on the wings, and then Zuma slid into right back, and then we had probably the hardest 15 minutes I can remember for a little while, because they did start bombing long balls into the area, Crouch winning the first ball or they catching the second ball, and we couldn't cope. And I thought to myself, oh gosh, here we go again. Just when we think we need to gain control here, we were losing it. I was never comfortable. I don't know about you guys, but for that first half and that first 10 minutes of the second, I wasn't comfortable. I think he did miss a trick. You're right. I wouldn't have played Crouch up top on his own. It totally defies the objective of playing Crouch. With Crouch, you need players around you. He will not outrun anyone. You know, you'll hold it up and play into people. You need to get people around him, you know, getting the second balls. And that's the best way to play with him. I think they missed a trick. I think, you know, need to give a shout out to Joe Allen, though. He was superb. Do you know that? Joe Allen. I mean, Darren Fletcher was nowhere to be seen, but Joe Allen did give our midfielders a bit of a hard time in that first half. But no, yeah. Hughes totally flopped with those tactics. I think he played right into our hands, as you said, and that was a pretty easy first half hour.
Joe Allen for me is a footballer that's better than Stoke. That's just the way I think about it, the way he plays.
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a better player than Stoke. Ray, 17 minutes in, Mane scores. Bit of controversy over it. Was the ball out? Was it not? Gomez gets to it and puts it across, and the finish is great from Mane, but fair play to Solanke. Nice touch, good awareness, nice ball into Mane, and it, as I said, it's a super finish.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice work. I mean, I didn't get to see a proper look at the replay in terms of whether the ball was out or not, but and I'm sure that, amongst other things, you know, was infuriating Mark Hughes, because he was getting sort of more and more irate as that first half was wearing on.
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. And I'm sure we'll come on to the one incident that probably almost tipped him over the edge. But yeah, I mean, it was, I think Solanke did a lot of good things tonight. You know, he seemed to be...
Did.
he seemed to be part of a lot of positive stuff we were doing. You know, some of his link-up play was good. Obviously, he's got the assist there for Mane's goal. And there was a lot to like about about Solanke's performance, to be honest with you. I think a lot of us were a little bit disappointed when he was taken off, when he was. You know, it was possibly a shout for Firmino to go off at that point. So it's always important for us to get that goal in the first 20 minutes, isn't it? You know, when you get that goal, you feel a lot more reassured that you're able, at some point further down the line, you're going to be able to pick them off. But to be fair to Stoke, they did respond quite well to us going that goal ahead. They had a pretty decent spell not long after that.
But you know, yeah. Ray, you make a good point. You know, with the Dominic Solanke performance for us, I would have worried if he played him like how Stoke played Crouch. But with the fact that he had Bobby, you know, right next to him, I think, you know, it really helped his performance. You know, Gav, we've often said, like, that's how we want Sturridge to be played, you know, alongside someone. You know, it's useless playing. To be honest with you, the only player in our squad that can play the Bobby role is Bobby out of our forwards. Do you know what I mean? So I think that was a good move by Klopp to play the way he played Dom and Bobby together.
I think the other thing is as well, you touch on Sturridge there. You know, I think if you, you know, we might get a few more games down the line and it might become sort of obvious that Solanke moves ahead in the pecking order of Sturridge in all of this, you know?
Yeah, well, the only thing I will say is, you know, Sturridge does look very isolated up there, and even against Chelsea the weekend, he looked isolated and he doesn't look at the races, but I don't think it was any fluke tonight that with Solanke playing, he put Firmino as close to him as he could to help him out. And that did help him. It may help Sturridge if he went with that system and played him in that kind of way.
But his work rate for me, Gav.
It was second to none. Yeah, it really was.
So much superior than what we've seen from Sturridge at the weekend. I mean, I was at the game at the weekend, and there were times where, you know, he put his hand up for the ball and it didn't come his way, and he kind of, you know, sulked off and jogged off and. You know, you don't really see any of that from Solanke. It's just a completely different body language.
Attitude,
you know?
Yeah, but and the other thing is, what I noticed about him was he done a lot of work, but he stayed central as much as he could. You know, he tried to stay central and he tried to let Firmino move off him, and Mane tried to join in. And there was a couple of incidents in the game where, you know, you could see Solanke wasn't on the same wavelength as the rest of the players. And again, that's understandable. He hasn't played a hell of a lot of minutes with them, although he trains every day with them. But in a match kind of circumstance, it's a lot different. He was caught once or twice on the ball. He was a little bit hesitant, but that's to be expected. He's a young lad, and I thought he'd done well. Just moving around a little bit, Stoke did have the incident you're going to, or you mentioned, Ray. But before we get to that, I just want to touch on these two chances that we had either side of that kind of Stoke appeal, and it was, the first one was Solanke and the second one was Mane, both true. Grizz, for me, both of them, I think they strike the ball a bit too early. I think they're in good position to go on another 5 yards and probably commit the keeper a bit more, but both really good, you know, periods of play and good moves, but they could have been a little more clinical, couldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely spot on. I think with the Solanke one, I think it was pure lack of game time, a bit rusty, you know, sort of lovely move, absolutely lovely move. I don't know if you remember the build-up to that. Beautiful.
Yeah, it was lovely. You know,
beautiful link-up play with Bobby, and that's the effect you can have when two players are playing sort of together. I think it was just a bit of rustiness. I think he just sort of snatched at it slightly. He didn't get a clean strike on it. He could have taken it on. Mane was surprising. Mane, I'm going to say it how it is, but I think Mane bottled. He did. He saw Zuma zooming behind him, right? Because if you look at it again, he looks over his shoulder. He looks over his right shoulder and he anticipates. He kind of takes it early because he thinks Zuma's about to barge him or make some sort of physical challenge on him. I think he underestimates his own speed in that scenario. I think if he has confidence in his own speed, I don't know if he was sort of fully fit yet. Maybe I'm making an excuse for him, but I think he kind of bottles it. He's definitely got to take it on another 5 yards at least, and then it will just increase the angle for him. Do you know what I mean? I mean, because the keeper doesn't come out. You got to remember the keeper stays on his line, so he's got the whole goal to aim at. He doesn't have to worry about the keeper cutting down his angle. So you know
he does when he gets through. He looks behind him, and then he goes on and he looks again. And I don't think he's too worried about Zuma. I think, is he trying to catch the keeper by surprise by hitting it that early? But again, I think another touch out of his feet, and I think the keeper has to come in. You know, but
I think he was expecting the keeper to come out a bit earlier than he obviously was going to. I think the two things combined, between Zuma, you know, hunting him down and the keeper not coming out, I think he's just taking the shots. You know, he just took it. You know.
Now, in fairness to him, he hits the post with it. It's not as if he puts it 5 yards wide. You know, he's just the radar is slightly off. But I'm watching the replay of this Mane goal Mane attempt, and I'm looking, and next of all, the camera zooms around, and Mignolet is out of his box, and he's swinging kicks like fucking Bruce Lee. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I was only watching the replay. Like, what's happening? Ray, it was farcical fucking stuff. And for once, I'm not going to blame Mignolet. I'm going to put it squarely on the shoulders of a Joel Matip, because for me, he was the issue there. His body position is all wrong. He's lethargic looking to go for it. Mignolet tries to get him out of jail, and your man gets a touch. But it was never a red card, was it?
Well, I thought it personally. I was just expecting the red card to come out. I did think it, you know, you could have been justified. Put it this way, if it was flipped round the other way, you know, and it's their keeper coming out like that, I am going mad if that's not a red card. So
yeah, but you see, the thing is right now is if you have a player anywhere within 5, 10, 15 yards or anywhere goal side, the new thing is now it's not a red card.
I'm sure that is by the rules, but just in that moment, and sometimes referees get caught up in the moment, I was fully expecting the red card to come out. I mean, Matip's role in it is, you know, you were spot on there. And I think, you know, tonight, you know, Lovren and Matip as a partnership, for me, there were times I didn't, you know, sort of know Lovren was on the pitch, and that's a good sign when it comes.
That's a good sign. Yes,
a
good sign
for Lovren. So, but Matip, on the other hand, his form's a bit worrying, because he's the one who seems to be, you know, the weaker link right now. So, he's a bit worrying for me right now, to be honest with you. He's another one of these who you know, we could suffer from an individual error in games to come.
Yeah, to me, he looked a yard off. He looked hesitant. He looked like someone that was out of a team for longer than he was. You know, when that ball is played from gone from memory, to me, he's shaped all the wrong way to go for the ball or look after the striker. He's completely the wrong way. Grizz, just one thing I wanted to touch on for the rest of the first half, or overall in the first half, and was it was Emre Can. And I thought Can was decent in possession, as most players were. We were decent. We weren't extraordinary. But I felt his defensive side of the game, I think he's meant to be the man on that side of the pitch, kind of not minding Moreno, but kind of covering that space. And I thought all of Stoke's dangerous play came when he played around Can a little bit and got at Moreno. And I thought he was poor the first half.
Who, Emre or Moreno?
Emre. No, I thought Moreno done okay, but I thought Moreno was exposed, and I think that was down to Can not kind of covering that
area. I agree with you. I've been reading a lot of tweets while we're here, and people sort of going a bit overboard, as we do. You see, they're overboard with the criticism, or it's overboard with the praise. And a lot of people going mad about how brilliant Emre was. He wasn't brilliant. What Emre gives you is sort of a physical presence that, unfortunately, Hendo can't at the moment.
Yeah.
But on the ball, Emre did make a few mistakes. There was times where he could have got the ball out of his feet. You're right. There was not enough covering from not only Emre, but from Lovren on that left side as well. I noticed Moreno was doing his usual marauding, but I expected Lovren and Emre to cover more slightly to the left, because you've got to remember, Gini was covering brilliantly on this side. I thought, I mean, I don't know if you wanted to get onto the man of the match, but, you know, I always preempt your...
I'll do that later, Grizz.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go quiet.
But listen, Moreno was as usual. You're right. I think Emre could have... Don't get me wrong. He really grew into that role. In the second half, he was very good. But for that first half, I did think he could have played better in terms of covering that left space when Moreno was going forward. But the system also helps the team. Gav, it really does. When there's two... I mean, I know you love it. When there's two sitting... I love it
for the personnel we have. I'm not a massive fan of it overall, but for the personnel we have, I am a fan of it.
Yeah, because it just frees up our four, doesn't it? It just frees up the four. They can go where they want on the pitch. There's no sort of set positions for the front four when you've got two sitting and covering, and one fullback stays when the other one goes forward, usually Moreno. But to be fair to him, Gomez, in fact, it was his cutback, wasn't it? So to be fair to him, Gomez was attacking quite well as well this game. So I think it's a good balance, and you're right, this kind of formation does suit our personnel. There's only one problem in this situation, Gav. Where does Phil fit into this formation? That's where I always struggle in this formation. Where does Phil fit into it?
I don't know.
That's the problem.
In certain games, I think you have no problem playing the likes of your three in midfield, you know, one deep, like a la Henderson. You could play Coutinho and then you could play Ronaldo. But in others, you're going to have to say, no, look, we have to sacrifice, whether it be a Coutinho or whoever. And you're going to have to play these two lads deep, and you're going to have to go with, you know, literally these four lads that wander around up front. We get the halftime nil all, 1-0. There's a few hairy moments, but we get through them and we get the halftime. We come out in the second half, and Joe Allen Ray, he has an early chance. I think it's 5 or 6 minutes into the second half. Ball into the box, he gets on it loose, and he's not far off. But I was a little bit worried then, but I had nothing to be worried about, really. I think we took control from there on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that was one where the ball came across and Gomez is making a challenge, and it's a poor header, really. It comes back to Allen, and you know, he possibly could have done better. But I was starting to get a little bit concerned. Obviously, we were, you know, I think a few of us were making comments in the WhatsApp group about, you know, was he going to make the subs, you know, in time, as opposed to Sunday, where we were crying out for bringing on maybe a Mane. And you know, thankfully, and to the manager's credit, he obviously makes those changes. You know, there was a few hairy moments around that moment in time. It was right after that incident where Oxlade-Chamberlain reacts, you know, to a challenge from Martin Zinchi and, you know, gets into it a bit, and he takes him off straight away. Not sure if that was already sort of going to happen. But, you know, I think Oxlade-Chamberlain had a decent game. You know,
I thought he was very good.
And in some ways, you know, you're taking Oxlade-Chamberlain and Solanke off, and they're quite possibly, you know, our two best players on the pitch, you know, up until that point. I was getting a little bit, you know, concerned, I have to say. And I was kind of almost getting to the point where I was thinking, you know, if we don't get a second goal here, just typical of us, we will concede a goal and, you know, we will let another 2 points slip away. But obviously, when you can bring on a sub the quality of Salah, you know, it just gives you that extra bit, doesn't it, for those last 20-25 minutes?
Yeah, absolutely does. Chamberlain reacting to the tackle, I have no issue with that at all. And no. The more players we have in the team that are react and stand up for themselves, the better. We don't see enough of it. Grizz, he makes the subs on about 67, 68 minutes. I was surprised to see Oxlade-Chamberlain come back, but in fairness, Ray's touched on something there that maybe he saw him getting into a bit of bother and took him off. Maybe it was pre-planned. But he brings on Milner for that little bit more steadying his ship probably in midfield, and then he brings on Salah, and I don't know what to say about this guy anymore. I really don't. I literally seen the goal go in and just thought, you know what, I fucking love him. He's that good. What did you make? We might as well get on to it. He's just bagging goals all over the place, isn't he?
It's just, it's unbelievable, hasn't it, the impact he's made. We're not getting bored of it because we could talk about him all day long. But going back to the substitution of Ox, I agree with Ray. I thought, and I agree with what you said as well about, I think he had a fantastic, I think that was one of Ox's best performances in a red shirt or orange, as the case may be. He was good. He was good today. His tracking back, his understanding, you know, I think he's played quite a bit of football with Joe Gomez for the under-21s, maybe. It seemed like they've got a very good understanding. I know they get on off the pitch, and you could tell they've got a good understanding, because you could tell when Gomez was going on his runs, it was there was a good link-up and understanding between them. I think there was a very good pair of substitutions. They came on at the same time, actually, Gav. Milner and Salah come on for, who was it, Ox and Solanke, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Ox and Solanke.
So, look, say what we want about James Milner. The guy's got experience. He did. I think that's his role now. I don't really want James Milner. I hate saying this. I don't, you know, it's up to Klopp at the end of the day, but I really don't want to see James Milner start in a game. I think he's such a good calming influence in a situation like this. As Ray says, you know, it seemed like we needed a calming head out there. You know, I personally felt comfortable after that. After that Joe Allen miss, I felt comfortable in the game. Sort of, we gained control in that second half, and we definitely gained control when Salah came on. It just, you know, you could see it in the defenders' eyes. They just absolutely shat themselves, didn't they? That Peters where he's sort of watching the ball, watching Salah. It's just, he's unbelievable at the moment. I mean, there's no such thing as unplayable. You know, he's not unplayable, but he's full of confidence, and his all-round play has improved as well. Not only his goal scoring, but his sort of his understanding with his teammates, when to make the runs. You know, it only bodes well for the future. I actually think Mane didn't have his best game, even though he turned out with two assists or whatever, wasn't it, and a goal. I think Mane's still sort of waiting to get into his optimum form. But Salah's just unbelievable. That volley. I mean, I criticise his striking of a football. I still don't think it's as clean
as...
He must have
listened to you.
Of course he is. And that volley was sort of just sublime, wasn't it?
But you know what?
I think just on his finishing, I think, you know, we were sort of six, eight games in, and he was having a lot of chances. He was wasting an awful lot of good opportunities, and we were kind of making comments. You know, I think everyone was making comments that, you know, if this guy can sharpen up on his finishing, he's gonna score a phenomenal amount of goals. And he's to his credit, he's done it, hasn't he? And you know, we're looking at maybe a 30 to maybe even 40 sort of goal season out of him. You know, if he's coming off the bench and scoring a couple of goals, then
it's phenomenal. You know, it's a phenomenal record.
Yeah. For me, you know, I think we maybe just need to give him a new contract before the January window opens.
Because, oh God.
Yeah. Could you imagine people coming sniffing around in January?
Yeah, well the thing about it is, like, from the first half where Stoke were quite organized, measured in the defending, the minute this chap walks on the pitch, panic sets in, and you see it from the first goal he gets. You know, a ball breaks, and they were kind of sure of themselves in their defending. They were doing for the majority, but all of a sudden they're looking around themselves and they're, where's he and where's he? And Mane panic does very well.
Yeah.
You know, and the ball back, good shit back, but it's a phenomenal finish. He just absolutely, you know, letters it into the goal. There's no second thoughts. He just puts it in. That makes it a bit more comfortable. And then the third one really plays me because he's chasing. And like you said, Grizz, the defender doesn't know whether to try play it back, try make a tackle. He's actually pleading for his goalkeeper to come out and do something for him as
he
well.
He does. You're right. He actually pleads with the goalkeeper.
Yeah, he does. Sort of he does. You know, he's hoping the goalkeeper does. And then when Salah gets it, he's looking at the goalkeeper going, no, you haven't come out, and he knows the game is up. But Ray, he still has to finish it. And
he does.
The confidence in him to put it under the keeper like that, that's real confidence, because a lot of players might try to go around the keeper to make sure of it if they're a little bit doubtful.
Or blast it.
He's completely sure on what he's doing, and he knows where he's putting it, and he just gets better and better.
Yeah, I mean, it's a more difficult sort of chance, you know, in its entirety than the one Mane misses when he sort of goes through on goal in the first half. You know, it was when he goes through, you're in little doubt almost at this stage that he's gonna put it in the back of the net, and it was just sublime to watch, and then following that, it was equally as enjoyable to start watching all the Stoke fans disappear, you know, quickly into the night, because that place emptied out pretty quickly after that goal goes in. It was, you know, and for a place that down the years has given us a lot of trouble, and you know, windy nights in Stoke, and you know, it's a midweek games right up their street. You know, we've handled that game, you know, phenomenally well. So, you know, you've got to say you can't be anything but pleased with that. And obviously, you've got to, you know, kick on and brighten at the weekend. And you know, we're sitting fifth in the table. I mean, we've gone above Tottenham. It's happy days, isn't it?
Yeah, it is at the moment, yeah. And like, if you look at that game tonight and you look at, it's Brighton away, isn't it, at the weekend?
Yeah.
You look at that and, you know, Milner got a few more minutes in him. Coutinho got a complete rest. Salah only had to do 25 minutes or somewhere around 25 minutes. You know, the defence kind of had the last 20 minutes off nearly. You know, we're looking good.
The bench is strong as well, the other thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
The bench was strong on Sunday. I mean, this comes back to the squad, doesn't it? You know, we mightn't have the strongest 11, but we've now assembled a pretty decent squad to go to war with through this, you know, winter period, which, let's face it, was our downfall last year.
Yeah.
And it, you know, Klopp's definitely learned from that. He's assembled a squad of players who he feels are going to get him through this, you know, what is the trickiest part of the season. So you've got to say, we're looking in really decent shape.
Well, if you look at last season, we got up to Christmas not too bad, but it was just the aftermath of it and players getting injured and stuff like that and tiredness setting in. I think he's looking at it now going, you know, even if we have one or two out, we still have better numbers for when January kicks in. And Grizz, overall, we can't be anything but happy. We move on to Brighton at the weekend. You have to be looking at another 3 points, don't you?
Look, the way we're playing, the way we're playing, the confidence is high. I think Klopp's been sort of getting a bit of criticism recently. And yes, some of it deservedly so. You know, especially with sort of in terms of his substitutions, people have been sort of questioning or querying, or maybe, you know, he shouldn't have rested XYZ against Chelsea. But he really deserves a pat on the back, not only tonight, but for the slight adjustments he's made in sort of not making us a one trick pony, so to speak. You know, as we've discussed, you know, the slight change in Salah's formation, bringing him inside. You know, he doesn't play. He just doesn't hug the right hand touchline anymore. You know, he plays sort of almost like a forward, or when he does play, you know, or off a forward. So we've got that variety. Again, it's Brighton won't know what team we're picking. We won't know. I mean, I don't even know if Klopp's planned it as such. I'm sure he has probably, but you know, it's the variety we've got in sort of, not only in our forward positions, but sort of that setup in midfield. I mean, it bodes well. We're looking strong. These are the fixtures sort of last season where we were struggling in terms of the promoted teams. I think we had an awful record, didn't we, against the promoted teams. Brighton and other promoted teams, a team, I think a very good manager, underrated manager in Houghton. It's going to be tough, but you know, I go into games fully expecting 3 points now, and that's credit to Klopp for turning sort of sort of doubters into sort of, well, I'm a believer. I believe he has a plan, and I think so far, barring one or two unlucky games, he's executing it perfectly. I mean, as we've discussed, going into this period last season, just December, January, absolutely killed us. It's evident that we're looking far, far stronger, in a far, far stronger position as a squad.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The only thing I would say about, I don't know if anyone else noticed it, but I couldn't work out when Mane was coming off, whether he was scratching his balls or whether he did have some kind of pull there.
Because no, it looked like he was adjusting himself as he was coming off.
I actually tweeted, he does look like he's limping. You see, I don't think you saw it, Gav, but what you saw was scratching his balls. I agree with you. That could be him scratching his balls. But then there was another scene at the end when they're walking off and he was sort of walking with a slight limp. I hope I'm wrong, but it's not often.
So not that, like, would be, to be that wrong. Would be that would be a bit of concern. I'd prefer if it was just for him to be scratching his balls. But we've got Phil to come back at the weekend.
Options. Yeah.
He's got Sturridge to use if he chooses. it was disappointing that I think as Lallana picked up a knock, has he?
Well,
he wasn't on the bench tonight, and I think what was going round was that he may well have picked up a knock. So that's a little bit disappointing if we can't get him back into the mix. But Brighton will have had. I didn't see the game last night, but you know, for them, Palace is a massive game. You know, they played Palace last night. Dogged out a 0-0, so like that's a huge rivalry, Brighton Palace. So they're just off the back of their big derby. So you know we've got to go in there full of confidence.
Absolutely. I'd be going into the weekend, and I think people need to just have a bit of faith in the team we pick and what way we go about it. Because let's be honest, we're a goal in Seville away from a 3-2 win. It shouldn't have even got that close. It was just one of those fucking 45 minutes. And we're a strange goal against Chelsea away from being, what, 4 or 5 league games on the trot. So Klopp's doing something right. And the one thing I think as well is that players, I don't think, are as sure as their position and they're starting prepared in the team as they used to be. And I don't think that's a bad thing either. You know, Henderson dropping out and coming in, or Jean doing the same, or, you know, keeping the players on their toes, no bad thing, and it can only benefit us. If Lallana's taking a knock, look, if it takes another week or two for him to come back, fine, we have the numbers there. If someone drops out in 2 weeks and Lallana comes in, hopefully it doesn't affect us. Lads, the last thing before we go, Grizz wanted to do it about 4 minutes into the pod, but we'll do it now. And it's man of the match, so Ray, I'll let you go first. Who was your man of the match?
I think it's a tough one because the two lads who come off, I think, were the best players, you know, up until that point. But you know, just for the pure joy that he gives us, I'm just gonna give it to Mo Salah.
Okay, yeah, I can't really. Yeah. Grizz, who are you going for yourself?
No, I'm not gonna give it to Mo Salah. He's got no fucking space in his fucking cabinet for any more fucking man of the match trophies. Sod him.
He has. Jordan Robin kept the player of the month.
But do you know what? I tell you, it is a very tough one. My choices, it came down to Gomez and Ginny. I think that was probably Ginny's best away performance of the season. I can't remember too many performances that sort of bettered that, top that. I think his covering, his positional sense, his usage of the ball efficient. And I'm talking about both of them, to be honest with you. I thought Gomez, you know, he's very shy of attacking. A, because I don't think he's particularly good on the ball. But he showed that he has got it in him. He has got it in him. And I thought he performed really well. I'm going to give it to Gini Wijnaldum, because I think, you know, we all take the piss out of his away performances so much. I think, you know, he turned up today, and I thought, I'll give it to Gini Wijnaldum. I think he was better than Emre. And I thought he was solid all around. I thought it was a good performance from Gini Wijnaldum.
Yeah, he was much better than Emre. To be honest with you, some of the things Emre Can does just infuriate you. You know, that
I'll tell you why they infuriate. Well, I'll tell you why they infuriate me. I'm not going to tell you why they infuriate you. All right? Oh. But the thing is, he's got it in his locker. You can see the talent, Ray.
I know.
He's got. You know, you can see what he's capable of. When he's on top of his game, he's an absolute Rolls Royce. He's a machine. And it's almost like he sort of, I think he believes his own hype. You know, he sort of thinks he's better than, you know, sometimes he just comes across as, you know, he thinks he's better than he is. But he's got to put that hard graft in. And then when he does, he's an absolute beast.
He's getting into this regular habit, though, of being dispossessed, and then he tracks back and gives away a silly foul, silly yellow card. He's done it so many times this season. I don't know. He obviously the whole contract situation, but for me, he's certainly not the form that he's shown. He's not playing himself into a big contract. It's just the circumstances that he's able to go on the free that'll get him the big contract if he gets it, you know.
So we've one vote for Salah, we've one vote for Wijnaldum, and we hate Emre Can. So just to clear that up, that's exactly what I heard. Don't you fucking start.
We need to shift away from Miggs or Lovren, don't we? We need to start.
Mignolet got bored. Mignolet got bored and tried to fucking take a man's leg off. It's going to shock a lot of people. I agree with Grizz. I'd give it to Wijnaldum as well. I thought, as not bad as Emre Can was in the first half, but kind of a little bit off it defensively, I thought Wijnaldum was very good. He was strong. He played the simple pass when he needed to. He got us up the pitch. He pushed with the ball. He was bright. He battled. And you need that at Stoke. You know, you always need a player like that at Stoke. He got stuck in and he moved the ball on and he let the lads that are creative, he let them create. I give it to Wijnaldum as well. A mention for Salah though, because he's fucking brilliant.
By the way, at the end there, Gav, I thought it was class from Salah to sort of give up the free kick for Gini to take Wijnaldum. And try and
humility.
Break that tuck of the man.
You
know, it would have been brilliant for him to break that tuck of the away goal sort of hoodoo and go jumping into the fans at the end, but unfortunately it wasn't to be.
But I think, Ray, that just shows you what kind of human he is as well. Do you know what I mean, Salah? That's what endears him to the rest. And people are like, you know, his teammates. I mean, that just shows human. Anybody on a hat-trick, you know, it suited him. You know, you'd think, okay, I want this. But, you know, it shows, you know, what a lovely human being. I mean,
it was brilliant.
What's not perfect about him? I don't know. The only thing I'd say, Gav, is his hairstyle just reminds me of Matt. That's the only problem I've got. That's the only issue I've got with him. Only issue.
He can't drink like Matt drinks. You know what I mean?
Nobody can. Fucking hell. Drinks like a whale, that fucking Matt was.
Anyway. I swear, he gets himself in a brilliant, brilliant state at every single weekend. But look, lads, we're going to leave it there. Stoke 0, Liverpool 3. 3 more points. We move on to Brighton at the weekend. Hopefully we do the same again. Ray, thanks a million for joining me. Grizz, the same to you. I've been your host, Gav. Look out for more stuff from the Day Trippers over the following week. And we'll see you at some stage. Thanks a million. Over and out.